CFRC 101.9 FM has new social media. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at CFRC Music and keep up with the latest announcements about our programming and projects. Follow us today at CFRC Music.
CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. Help us raise $25,000 to support our local arts and artists and keep our community informed with local news, concerts, and events listings on air and on our website. Visit CFRC.ca today and make your gift to Kingston's longest-running broadcaster serving our community since 1922. Get a tax receipt via Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
Hi everyone, I'm Michael Zuzek and you're joining CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program. I'll be creating new music in CFRC's studio and doing a live performance on November 24th from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Tune in if you enjoy rock and want to hear some newly written tunes from the Kingston region. In the meantime, catch up with me on Instagram at Michael Zuzek and feel free to listen to my newly released album Everest anywhere you can stream.
You're listening to Close Reads on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Madeline. On Close Reads, we share and analyze creative writing by students here at Queen's. Tune in for Close Reads from close by.
Today, we have another special episode. As you may know, we are both part of Quilt, an undergraduate literary publication here at Queen's, and also where we source a lot of the pieces for Close Reads.
The next Quilt Volume launch party has just been announced, and tickets are on sale right now, so we thought it would be a good time to talk about some of the team behind the volume to learn more about the editing process and the students behind student publications.
We're here with Audra Crago, one of the co-editors-in-chief of Quilt, and Bea Peitch, Quilt's senior prose editor. Audra is in her fourth year as an English major and religion minor, and Bea is a third-year Con Ed student doing a joint honors in English and gender studies. Also participating in today's discussion will be myself as the internal managing editor of Quilt, which is a fancy way of saying I send a lot of emails, but I also am a member of the editorial board, and Madeline as the other co-editor-in-chief. We're also joined in the booth by Gwendolyn Hickey, our head of copy, who is today the head of making sure this is still recording.
We have a few questions for Bea and Audra about the editing process, this term's theme of the body, and how their own writing influences their editing. But first, we'll hear More of the Same by Caroline Rose.
Like I 'cause she couldn't make ends meet from her writing career. Whoa, just a little bit is more than I can recall. I tap on my finger on it, though I have been here before. I'm never gonna figure it out, no, I'm never gonna try again. If all it is just more of the same.
Right, that was a lovely song. I discovered Caroline Rose on Spotify many moons ago, and I still listen to her music very often. Highly recommend. But now we are sitting down with Audra and B. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Excited to be here.
So we can just jump right into the questions. Our first question is, what is an editor? What do they do, and what are the differences between the role of a writer and an editor?
I can start. In terms of how the editor works on Quilt, we have a team of different editors, and they make up the editorial board. When we receive student submissions, we have our team and ourselves will read through all the pieces, and we'll look for things that stand out, like originality and...
like the structure, the things that the characters, the voice.
Innovation. We look for compelling voices. We look for gripping stories. And oftentimes, especially when we're publishing our mini issue in the first semester, we're looking for things that will apply to our theme. And then once we have selected our pieces, all through an anonymous process, our editors then work directly with the authors to shape their piece into something that is polished and perfect for publishing.
All right. B, do you have anything to add?
No, that covers editing process,
So then we can ask you, B, what do you think are some of the important parts of like the relationship or working dynamic between an editor and an author?
Well, all of the authors that I've worked with, something I really appreciate about it was the open conversations we would always have. Mm-hmm. So, like, as an editor, I know that, like, even I may have ideas in my head of how things will go, but in the end, it is up to the author. It is their work. And I'm just there to try and, like, bring their ideas to light as best as we can.
Yeah, that's a good point about the conversation, and that's honestly one of my favorite parts about the Quilt editorial process. I think that being able to talk to the writer about like what they were planning on doing with the piece often actually seriously changes my mind about the edits I might have had in mind going in, because it's just really nice to hear, like, obviously we have the voice of the story, but it's nice to hear the voice of the actual writer, of the poet or the author, and hear how we can actually like strengthen that in the piece. So I think it's a really nice sort of collaborative effort between the writer and the editor when we have that opportunity for conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I've been part of the process more times as an author than as an editor, I think, at this point, or maybe more or less even at this point. And it's really nice coming from that side too, because I feel like anything that you can do over like email or whatever is not going to be the same as if you can sit down and really meet and discuss the piece. It's always really nice to have a conversation with people who are really excited about your writing. Like, that's really exciting. I think, like, I feel like as a student especially, because a lot of people haven't been in the publishing world before. I know I hadn't. And so it's nice to have people who are really passionate about making like your writing better, and having that kind of conversation of what can we change to make it more polished but still keep the vision. I feel like when I've worked with Quilt before, it's felt really still like true to what I originally wanted it to be, which has always felt really nice.
I think as well, I think a lot of when we do these sessions about the death of the author, that concept. I think it's Roland Barthes.
Yeah, it's Barthes.
And I know that there's a lot of the time this urge to pull away from authorial intent and impose the reader's autonomy on a text, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, but when you're in a position where you can hear directly from an author and get to know what their intention actually was, I think for me, I've found it really strengthens my connection with a piece, mm-hmm. my connection to the author, and I think it makes the author more confident in the piece that they're getting published, and especially when we get to our launch events, which buy tickets.
They dropped today.
Well, very exciting. I think when they're reading their piece out loud, that I know in my own experience when I've done this, I just feel a lot more connected to mm-hmm. the process of it and the words, knowing that it had enough of an impact on someone for them to care enough to edit it with me and yeah. to polish it with me. I think that's special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that gives us a pretty good transition into our next question.
We wanted to talk next about the idea of being a writer and an editor. So you're all both, well,
all of us here.
All of us here. We're all writers as well as, you know, editors. And we wanted to ask, how do you guys find the transition between writer and editor? Do you find that there's like a lot of similarities in the way you approach a work when it's your own or when you're editing someone else's? Do you find that the skills are kind of transferring over between these different sort of positions, or do you approach a lot of work in similar ways?
I think like through working with Quilt and getting to meet so many incredible people who are like writers and editors alike who are so talented, it has really like helped me in my own writing process. So it kind of, they definitely go hand in hand, and
they definitely go together.
I agree with that. I find that also like one of the things that makes my writing better is just reading more. And when you're on an editorial board, you have to read a lot. And because you have to always have those conversations of like what works and what doesn't, it does give you a skill set that is much more easy to apply to your own writing as well. So it honestly, just like the quantity of stuff that you read can be really valuable for like your skills as a writer as well.
I think especially like being on Quilt and like my first year on the ed board was last year, and I feel like it really helped me develop like that critical eye for what's working and what isn't. I feel like when we're looking at our own writing, you know, it's the whole like kill your darlings, like it's hard to let go of things and it's hard to think about the piece as a whole as opposed to like what you put into it when you're first writing. But I think it's much easier to do that with other people's work, obviously, because you're only seeing what's on the page. And so I think it really helped me have that idea of what works and what doesn't, and think about editing in a slightly more, I think, like detached way, and returning to pieces afterwards. Being in an English degree, I think, also did this. Like just analyzing work helps you know what it's doing and what it's failing to do for my own work, at least. Mm-hmm. So I think that also being in that kind of like critical community of people people discussing works and getting different people's takes helps me with the lens that I apply to my own writing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with killing your darlings is the hardest thing you can do. I find what helps me through that process is everything I kill, I save in some way. I preserve. I put it all in a different document, and I don't know, you can reshape it and you can use it eventually, which is a small silver lining, I think, to having to cut something you love. But I agree with Madeline. I think reading a lot and quantity, not even just for quality, because I think I've read books that I've found to be poorly, not even poorly written, but just I've caught myself noticing edits that I would make. Mm-hmm. And I only started noticing myself doing that after I joined Quilt. So I joined the editorial board in my first year here at Queen's. And I remember my editing skills were pretty rusty. I'm really grateful they took a chance on me, and they helped me, the team helped me grow as an editor and as a writer. And I think I know, Corey, you mentioned that community, critical community is a good word for it. Just being around people who have the ability to offer and can offer like critical feedback, but in a constructive and thoughtful way, I think makes such a big difference as opposed to turning in like a creative writing assignment.
Yeah. Something else related to that, like, community of voices, something that came up a lot with this volume, The Body, is what everyone thought we were going to get from it, the interpretations. We were really excited. Something, I think, my favorite part of the process this year was seeing all the different takes that we got on The Body. Mm-hmm. The theme, for anyone who is listening and has never heard of Quilt before, first of all, you should go read all of the previous Quilt volumes. But our theme for this this term is mini zine is The Body. And we wanted to ask you guys and discuss a little bit, what does The Body mean to you, either like in abstract or like in literature? And what kind of like approach or way to engage with this theme is the most interesting to you, like in other works? Or like, what were you, were the things you were hoping to see? Are the things that you are happy that you saw in vague enough details until we announced the pieces? But like, kind of themes that you're drawn to with The Body for submission, editing, anything?
Yeah, I think something I was most excited about was moving past like individual human bodies and looking mm-hmm. at the body as an entity, like not necessarily one that breathes air, but one that's living anyway.
Yeah.
So I know if you think about a body of water, like, yeah. I think that's the first connection I made that wasn't humanity, but you can go a lot of places with that word. Like, there's a lot of connotations, you can posit new ones, and people got super creative. I was really pleased with all the submissions we got. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I loved the like different ways that the body was taken, but I will be honest, when I heard the theme was the body, I was ready for the viscera. I was ready for the gore.
The body horror of it all.
Yeah, yeah, I was ready for like, instead of taking it outside the body, like really looking in, because we really take, there's a lot of things about the body we take for granted, and like if it's either literal or like metaphor, just really digging deep into just the body as a concept. And yeah, I definitely really appreciated the pieces we got that were like
grounded in the body.
Yeah
And I think the idea of like the different aspects to the body is why we were so like excited by this theme, because obviously there are so many different ways to take it, but like everyone is going to approach it in a different way. And I think that because the body, it's something that's so personal. And yet, like you guys said, it also can be such a figure of speech and such a wide thing. And so it really is, I think, a theme that allows people to be original and allows their own voice to shine. And it's not something where you necessarily have to even like write something for the theme, because like we were saying, there's just so many ways to take it. Chances are you've got something sitting in your Google Docs that will fit the theme.
I mean, that was, when I was looking for things to submit for this time, because if anyone listening, as Audra said, for our process, you leave the room if you know the author. So we do encourage like our team members to submit. But I ended up having things that were just sitting around from previous creative writing classes. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something when we were interviewing Kaya about Belladonna, we talked about the body, obviously, because the body is so present in that one. And she said something along the lines of like, everyone has a body. So when you're writing about the body and you're writing something grounded in the body, everyone's going to have like a take on that, and everyone's going to be able to resonate with that in some way, especially like Bea was saying, like those ones that are really like visceral, but then also the ones that take that different take, you can relate to it through your own body. And I think that was really interesting, like way to put it, is it's something that's very, very like relatable and present for everyone, because we all have a body.
Yeah, I was thinking that as Madeline, you were talking about how personal the topic is, and like, yes, it's such an individual thing, but it also is universal. Mm-hmm. Kaya's right, everybody has a body, but what strikes me is how our bodies can feel slow, like we can be going through the exact same things, but it leaves different impacts on an individual level. And so for people to find themselves in this new issue, I think is a really beautiful thing, because there's space for everyone in this body.
And there were so many different, something we were really prioritizing, I think, when we were going through them, was seeing like, okay, what are the different takes that we have on the, because there were a lot that were really well executed, but were on similar like themes and stuff. So we were really hoping to get a wide variety. And I think we did get there. And we have really very different takes, like throughout the, I was really excited to see, like we have like these kind of like connections to like place and body, and we have like the kind of body of water thing coming in. Like there's a lot of really a body in like community and in relationships and all of these different things.
The body in context.
The body in context.
Yeah.
I was really just hoping that we would get a chance to use the phrase body of work. And we did.
and we
worked that into our editor's notes. Yeah. So when you're so buying your volumes, because you will be buying your volumes of Quilt the Body, you keep an eye on that.
But it also will be online.
It also will be online for free. But if you like it in your hands, we do sell them.
And so. They always are so pretty. Like the art
they're so
in this,
glossy.
I am obsessed with the art in this. The design team continues to amaze me every single time. Shout out to Audra, who's also one of our illustrators. But it's just so amazing. I feel like, just the way that all of the illustrations, I feel, are so, like, married to the pieces that they're with. That's one of my favorite parts of the collaborative process, too, is, like, the text and the art working together.
Yeah, and another note about Quilt's editorial process is it's just in the past couple of years that we've started having the illustrators be sort of a part of that, I guess, for the lack of a better word, the editorial process. We have them talk directly to the writers, sometimes even sit in on the meetings with editors and really get a sense of like, what is it work? Like what's being thought about and what's being prioritized in the piece. And because of that, I think we're able to create really personal, really intimate illustrations that really do an amazing job at highlighting what's happening in the work.
Well, and even when we have like the one-on-one meetings, the illustrators are working with the author in the same way the ed board is. Like it really is like a partnership. And I think that ends up really coming through on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think those are all really questions we have. Do you have any other thoughts that you want to share before we wrap it up?
Buy your tickets to the Quilt launch. It's going to be so much fun. And
definitely.
Come appreciate our body of work.
Yeah.
So for our guests who are interested in attending that, the body, our launch for the body, the tickets are available this week, well, as of this week, and continuing until we've sold out. I think we have... 100 available.
Yeah.
So, you know, buy soon because I think we do typically sell out. They're available through the link in the Quilt Instagram bio, which is at QU Quilt. The launch will feature live music by students, readings of the pieces by the authors, time to socialize, eat and drink. It's on December 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Doors at 6 at the Grad Club. And the tickets are $10. And again, check out QU Quilt on Instagram for more details. This has been Close Reads with Corey and Madeline on CFRC 101.9 FM. To take us out, we'll have Guts by Leith Ross. I saw you at a party, so I waited in the kitchen for my friends. You wanted to say sorry.
Bleeding on the kitchen tiles while I cleaned up in the bathroom. You thought you were an actor, claimed a hammered body double. Then you wrote yourself a letter to my name for all your trouble. screamed and cried outside the venue to make sure you were embarrassed. Acted just insane enough for your friends to claim hysterics. And all the men who couldn't sleep with me would testify and swear it. But do they?
I feel so incredibly fortunate to be able to bring all of these amazing artistic minds to you on Close Reads. And if you enjoy our show, we'd like to ask that you donate to the CFRC's annual funding drive. We have run numerous community arts programs, including shortwave radio theater camp for kids in the summer, our seasonal beginner-level DJ workshops, and our new Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program featuring live performances by local emerging artists throughout the next year. Your support helps us continue to provide opportunities to local young and emerging artists to grow and connect with new audiences. Please donate today via cfrc.ca. Donations help run accessible opportunities for community members to participate in artistic programming at the station and also enjoy entertaining activities with their friends and family as they tune in and listen to amazing community member-created theater and music on our station. Visit cfrc.ca today and give to Queen's now to get a tax receipt for your donation to CFRC through Queen's University. Or donate securely through our website and get amazing free CFRC gifts and chances to win raffle prizes from local businesses. For every $5 donated, you get one raffle ticket and lots of CFRC swag. Quilt is a literary publication for and by undergraduate students here at Queen's.
If you are interested in the fantastic minds of your peers, check us out on Instagram at QUQuilt to read our volumes of creative and academic writing.
Stay tuned for more information about our upcoming launch event.
Love, Quilt.
I should unwalk out the door, drag my feet along the floor. Then I see you, you're walking across the campus, cool professor studying romances.
Help CFRC serve our community listeners. Have your voice heard and share your thoughts through our online listenership survey. Visit cfrc.ca, click on the link, and take the 3 to 4 minute survey. All participants can enter for a chance to win great prizes from Smokes Poutinerie and Uber Eats. Your voice matters. Make it heard by taking the CFRC listenership survey today via cfrc.ca. Thank you for your support. CFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt through Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. More information at CFRC.ca. Thank you for your support.
CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, earn a ticket towards one of our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from wonderful local businesses, including Harper's Burger Bar, Hotel Wolf Island, Improbable Escapes, Kingston Canadian Film Festival, KPP Concerts, Long & McQuaid, Martello Alley, and Novel Idea. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via CFRC.ca.
Welcome to Melodies of Myth, where we explore short historical tales blended with Indian classical and Western music. My name is Simar Kaur, and it's an honor to accompany you on this journey of discovering the rich interweaving of music and history. Together, we will explore the stories, traditions, and timeless melodies that have shaped our understanding of this art form. This particular song that you just heard is called Virha, which roughly translates into separation. With its rich blend of traditional Indian instrumentation and contemporary elements, the composition creates a hauntingly beautiful atmosphere. The vocals, delivered with passion, convey feelings of yearning. Quick fun fact, I started learning Indian classical music when I was just 7 years old, and when I recently heard this song for the first time, it instantly connected me to my past. It was as if the notes carried me back in time, reminding me of the beauty and depth of the art form that has shaped so much of who I am today. With that sense of nostalgia in mind, I would like to introduce you to another, a little more upbeat song. Here is Ajeeb Dastan Hai Ye which translates into "What a strange story this is." Enjoy. Ajeeb Dasta Hai Ye is a timeless classic sung by Lata Mangeshkar, featured in a 1960s film that beautifully captures the ups and downs of love. It reflects on the confusion and mystery that comes with loving someone, asking where this strange journey starts and ends. The lyrics play with themes of light and darkness, illustrating how love can bring joy but also create uncertainty. Up next is a mesmerizing piece that blends the spiritual depth of Sufi music with the elegance of Western instruments. Here is Khwaja Mere Khwaja from the movie Jodha Akbar, composed and sung by the legendary A.R. Rahman.
Khwaja mere khwaja.
For today's short story, we will be exploring how Indian classical music, with its long history, made its way to this part of the world. Let's take a look at how these sounds crossed borders and became part of our lives. But before we do that, here's a short message from Kingston Currents.
Want to keep up with all things Limestone local news? Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM at 5 p.m. every Tuesday for Kingston Currents. Stay well informed about the issues and developments that matter most to Kingstonians. Join me, your host and CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, as we deep dive into the latest Kingston news, featuring interviews every week with the movers and shakers who shape our city. Learn more about the people, places, and events that make Kingston truly unique. If you want to listen to Kingston Currents on the go or revisit episodes, you can also head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Kingston Currents is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, and Queen's University. If you have a local news story you want to share, you can contact news@cfrc.ca. Keep up with all things current in Kingston on Kingston Currents on CFRC 101.9 FM.
All right. Picture this. It's the 1930s, and a young Indian dancer, armed with nothing but his talent, sets sail across the world. His mission? To introduce the West to the beauty of Indian classical music. But here is the twist. The audience had no idea what was coming. So this young man, let's just say he was bold, steps off the ship, surveys the crowd, and realizes that they're staring at him like he just landed from another planet. But did he let that stop him? Of course not. He took the stage, ready to rock their world. And when the first notes of music filled the air, the crowd was stunned. You see, they weren't just watching a performance. They were experiencing something completely new. Something so mesmerizing they couldn't help but get hooked. Fast forward to the 1960s. At Expo 67 in Montreal, the world saw Indian classical music in full force. Legendary artists like Ravi Shankar performed, captivating the crowds with their music. These performances didn't just entertain, they opened doors to a whole new world of sound and culture. The 1980s and 90s saw more excitement. Schools like York University and the University of Toronto started offering courses in Indian music, making it part of their mainstream Canadian education. Indian classical music wasn't just being performed, it was now being taught to a whole new generation of students, both Indian and non-Indian alike. And it did not just stop there. Across Canada, cultural organizations and community groups began to host concerts, workshops, and events that introduced even more Canadians to the magic of Indian music. And as musicians became more involved, they started collaborating with artists from India, creating a blend of East and West that continues to shape the music scene even today. So, the next time you hear the deep soothing sounds of a sitar or the vibrant beats of the tabla, know that Indian classical music has a long, rich history in Canada. A history shaped by passionate artists, cultural exchange, and the open hearts of Canadians who welcomed it with open arms.
Thank you.
All about diversity and connection. It's a way for different cultures to express themselves and for people to come together through shared sounds and rhythms. When we explore various musical styles, we not only get a taste of what makes each culture unique, but we also find common ground that brings us closer together. This previous piece is titled Raga Jazz by Canadian artist Sumit Roy, that blends the complexity of classical music with the improvisational spirit of jazz. You can hear the traditional Indian instruments like the sitar and tabla, which intertwine with jazz elements, offering a rich tapestry of sound. Today we've journeyed through time, from one of the oldest classics to fresh hits, while also learning about the history of how Indian music got introduced in Canada. It's been an amazing ride. And before I sign off today, I'd like to leave you with one last track, the reprised version of Ik Kuri, which translates into One Girl, by artist Diljit Dosanjh, who recently toured Canada as part of his Diluminati tour. For those who don't know, Diljit rose to fame as a young Punjabi singer and actor, gaining massive popularity in both music and film. I was lucky enough to catch the Calgary show in May with my best friend for her 18th birthday. Both of us, we fall short of words whenever someone asks about how the concert was. I remember when he played this particular song that night, her and I, we FaceTimed our moms just to remind them of how much we appreciate them. The way he reimagined the song live with a guitar solo gave it such fresh energy. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did that night, and I'll see you next time.
Sony Puppet समझ